Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with these words. Lord God, may we glean from your word the same today as they were written. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be taking a look at your gospel reading here this morning from Matthew chapter 3. Talking about John the Baptist here today. Thanks. And we just want to kind of go over a little bit because there's so much in the Old Testament that mirrors the New Testament. And if you take a look at the way in which things are woven together, it's pretty amazing. And so we can take a look at and see, how many books are there in the Bible? 66. You didn't know there was a quiz today, did you? You thought you could just, all right, so how many in the New Testament? 27. How many in the Old Testament? Deductive math. I mean, the way we used to do things and all of this higher math stuff. All right, so 39 and 27. So there is a interesting going from book 39 into the book of Matthew, book, all right, 40. All right, so, we take a look and see. In Isaiah, now let's see how well you do. Book of Isaiah, how many chapters? 66. 66 chapters. And interesting is when you take a look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that your warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sin. A voice in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is in the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah, that there is a shifting, a change that happens from chapter 39, where all you get is destruction, where you get this wayward people, and all of a sudden, chapter 40, you get this change, and all of a sudden, God starts speaking about the salvation that would come to Israel. Interesting enough, chapter 40 has in it the coming of John the Baptist. Now look at your gospel reading. From what book? Which is what number book in the Bible? In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And what's John famous for saying? Are you the Christ? Are you the one? No, I am the one crying in the wilderness, make straight the path of the Lord. Interesting enough, it's just a weird connection there that in the chapter of Isaiah, chapter 40, you see someone coming, making the path of the Lord straight. What do you get in the 40th book of the Bible? You get the coming of John the Baptist, trying to raise his voice in the wilderness, telling people an amazing message of repentance. And so we take a look at this. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Anyone want to spend an incursion with this guy on the weekends? I mean, you probably will after it ducks below negative degrees here pretty soon, right? But when we take a look at John, you take a look, okay, so he had limited amounts of clothing, all right? he had probably never been to Supercuts or been to the grooming center, so his face was just a little crazy. And the buffet that he kind of went out and got wasn't what you would expect. But at the same time, look at what God was doing in the life of John the Baptist. It wasn't about his appearance. It was drawing men to the word that he would proclaim to them. And he didn't care whether you were in society low or high. He said everyone here needs repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And so he was preaching to all the masses that a turning would need to take place. A turning that would need to take place. And you see John the Baptist literally crying in and out into the wilderness. Christ is coming, and I am the one crying in the wilderness, trying to get you guys ready for this, because Israel has strayed. We, like sheep, have all gone astray. And so you see John the Baptist here with his message of hope for things to come. We take a look at what John the Baptist did, and John the Baptist wasn't a great man. He was just a man preparing everyone for the coming of Christ. So when you take a look at what John was trying to do, John was signaling a change would happen. He was signaling a change, just like in the book of Isaiah, that the salvation had come to the people. And did you notice, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. We would all see Christ coming to us, speaking with us, eating with us. And so the disciples, what did they do after he rose from the dead? They started speaking, we have seen the risen Christ. What did they do after he ascended into heaven? We have seen the risen Christ. What did they do when they were writing down what they had seen? We have seen the risen Christ. What does Paul say after he has encountered with Jesus? He says, I have seen the risen Christ. And so today we remember what has come from the mouth of the Lord. That is our message here today. We're saying, well, you know, I'm not going to put on camel's hair and go out and eat locusts, especially in this weather. But what is important is the voice coming from the Word. And the Word calls us all to repentance. And he says, in our lives, what's important is the turning. In the Greek, this turning is this 180-degree mark where we go from what we think we're doing right into saying, okay, none of us is doing right by God. We need to turn to God for everything that we have, everything who we are, and lean on His understanding, what comes from His Word. And so he says, proclaim that to the rest of the mountains. And so today, we remember. Remember, it's not John the Baptist who was great and mighty. It was the Word of God going forth to people to say, the Lord God has come to bring you salvation. Now, there's some that will say, I need no salvation. There's the world that says, we don't have no need of God. And still the voice is calling out from the wilderness, make straight the path of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord God, we hear of a time in which, Lord God, you were faithful in the Word. Lord God, at the appropriate time, the time in which, Lord God, it was perfect to send your Savior. Lord God, a little baby sparked a message of hope. Lord God, in the same way, we ask you to be with us, Lord. As Lord God, we want to try to figure out, Lord, how much longer? When will you come and restore all things? Lord God, give us that same message of hope that, Lord God, you are still crying out in the desert for those to turn to you, to look to salvation. And Lord God, you are asking for that one more person to realize that, Lord God, you have put in them even the smallest seed of faith. Lord God, they may cry out to you that they need you above everything else. Lord God, we turn to you, and we are totally dependent on your mercy. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.